Good morning. Welcome back to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful sunny Sunday morning. I'm glad to see all of you here. I was also glad to see that many of you were able to make it to the community worship at Heartwood Acres last week. Thank you very much to the folks that took pictures, Cliff and Heather, and because I couldn't see anything. I had no idea that who was here. So it was really great to see some of that. I think we learned a few things for next year, that maybe an umbrella and sunscreen would be helpful. but otherwise, I think it was a great time, and it was wonderful to worship God with so many other people. So I'm glad you were there. There was $1,800 raised for Anchor Point Counseling Ministries, North Hills Community Outreach, and Hearth, and that $1,800 will be split evenly among the three mission partners. So I don't have a count on how many people were there, though. So I don't know what to. I'll find out, and I'll let you know. Also, don't forget, next week after worship is our church picnic, and the deacons are getting together. They've got a main dish and some cupcakes. If you could bring side dishes and desserts, that would be great. There will be a basket raffle and a 50-50 and just all sorts of fun times. So come on out and join us for our church picnic next week. Any other announcements that I'm forgetting? Okay. All right. Well, then, with that, let's gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Turn us, O God, away from the world's temptations and distractions. Return us, O God, to the quiet calm of your presence. Restore us, O God, to the path you call us to follow. Orient us, O God, to the hope of all that is possible through you. Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. words, our deeds, our lives build barriers between us and others, and between us and God. But God would shatter every distinction. God would reshape us as new people. So let us come to the one who loves us and longs to forgive us with our prayer of confession. We admit, providing God, that we have difficulties living as your children. We could live in unity, but our words fracture relationships with family and friends. We have been shown the way to your kingdom, but turn into blind guides when asking for directions by others. We could offer precious gift, peace. We hand them the vinegar of despair and rejection. Have mercy on us, healing heart. Have mercy on us. When you call to us, may we listen with open ears, understand with embracing hearts, and share your grace with others, even as we have been graced by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hear the good news for you. God has provided hope for you, filling you with joy, with mercy, with peace. As mercy leads to mercy, we will take these gifts to share with the world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our congregational anthem, Help Us Accept Each Other. what a great song. I wonder who picked that out.
It was a great song.
Yeah. Okay. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. Please pray with me. Oh, and, sorry, when I say, Lord, in your mercy, respond, hear our prayer. Eternal God, we gather with you in worship to listen to your word, read and proclaimed, and discern your will for our lives. Incline your ear to us as we raise our prayers, petitions, joys, concerns. Hear us as we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, our rock, we are questioning what we once assumed to be sturdy and stable. Our economy feels fragile, our democracy vulnerable, our country angrily divided. And things are changing so fast, and our options feel limited. We don't know what to do to make things better. Life is overwhelming, and we, your people, need your help. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, the natural world groans for relief as temperatures rise, wildfires rage, and natural disasters regularly and tragically endanger lives. We pray for those affected by wildfires in Maui. We pray for those without the resources to rebuild after disaster strikes. We pray for the sick whose lungs are vulnerable to polluted air. We pray for the evacuated, the refugee, the desperate, and the destitute. We pray for your earth to be renewed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Prince of Peace, save us from ourselves, our violence and warring madness. Defeat dictators hell-bent on hoarding power. Protect the innocent from injustice. Strengthen the honorable. Bless us with the moral courage to follow Christ's way of love. Restore peace to Ukraine. Protect the persecuted of Manipur, India. Clear a path of peace for Israel and Palestine. Stabilize the situation in Niger, Africa. Hear the cries of your people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healing God, we pray for the sick and those in distress. Heal all of those who are sick in mind, body, or spirit, and enable those who are able to support them in their need. We especially pray for Kathy Sagi, who is currently at North Hills Rehabilitation Center following surgery on her foot. She is healing well. The Orovitz family and all others who were affected by the house explosion in Rustic Ridge the other week. We pray for the quintuplets that were born in Canada to a woman that Bev's granddaughter is working at. There were four girls and one boy. They're doing fine, but that's a lot of babies. We also pray for the family of Ruthie Mole, who a former member who passed away on Wednesday. As far as we know, there's no viewing and the services are private. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we are not without help or hope. Acts of compassion inspire in the face of all that is hard and harsh. Communities are collaborating to meet needs in new and exciting ways. People long silenced are finding their voice. We are newly aware of what we can accomplish when we work together for the flourishing of your kingdom. Holy God, the greatest threats are those that lead us to lock ourselves down, close our minds and hearts, build barriers to divide and protect. May your Spirit encourage our faith as we stand open-hearted, praying and believing in your endless mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Now, as the body of Christ in your covenant community, we pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Jesus, You Are the Healing. Please be seated. God's abundance cannot be matched. Still, we are inspired to be generous by a generous God. We're inspired to give by the greatest of givers. So, in gratitude to God, let us present our tithes and offerings. Almighty God, receive the fruits of our labor and the dedication of our lives, and make them an acceptable sacrifice in union with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 15, 10 to 28. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre in Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment.
Please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Open us to your life-giving word. Quiet the voices within us that do not align with your will. Focus our minds on the message you intend for us, so we may faithfully discern your way. Amen. So while meditating on this passage, the word purity kept coming to me. And our country and our culture has been obsessed with purity. Since the mid 90s, it was basically like when I was in middle and high school is when I sort of came to know it is purity culture, and that was synonymous with sexual purity. But throughout our country's history, we've been concerned with all different types of purity: gender purity, national purity, racial purity. And I've seen people make the case that these categories are a means towards maintaining biblical purity, and that God demands that we separate ourselves from contamination and corruption. And I can see that some of the benefits in staying away from things that defile us and make us dirty. But I don't think that the ways in which we have put it into practice are quite what God meant. Like, ritual purity was very important throughout the Old Testament. The point is that God is holy and pure, and powerful, and we are not. And so in the Old Testament, the thought was that in order to approach God, you had to be pure, as pure as possible, especially if you're going to approach God at the temple. And God gives a lot of guidance about what this purity means, especially in Leviticus. There's a lot of rules about what makes somebody impure, and then, but also like how to remedy that situation so that you can worship properly. And right before this passage, the thing that we're not getting is that the Pharisees were upset with Jesus. I know, big surprise. But the Pharisees were upset with Jesus because Jesus didn't make the disciples wash their hands before eating. Fair point from a germ theory perspective. But the Pharisees were concerned about it from an aspect of ritual purity. And here is where we get Jesus' response to that. He's saying, yeah, those ritual purity laws and those traditions, like those are important. I'm not saying that we should get rid of them. Those are good things. But following the law won't purify you if your heart isn't in it. He's saying that the spirit of the law is much more important, especially if following the letter of the law actually causes harm. God is much more concerned about the purity of our hearts. And that's why Jesus says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles, it's what comes out. Many of the laws in Leviticus that the Pharisees were really careful to observe were about food. No pork, no shellfish, no cheeseburgers. Wash your hands before you eat so that you don't accidentally ingest anything impure that you might have come in contact with. Needless to say, the Pharisees were more than just a little bit ticked off with what Jesus had to say. And I actually get it. I get it. It can't be easy to keep track of 613 laws every minute of every day. These were people who worked very hard to maintain their ritual purity. And Jesus comes by and accuses them of just paying lip service. Maybe Jesus is even implying that the only reason that they're doing these things is to look good and to feel superior to other people. I think in some ways that we and Jesus are a little too hard on the Pharisees and the scribes. They were doing the best they could with the information that they had. They were doing what they knew. They were following these traditions that were handed down to them for thousands of years. And then this 30-year-old unemployed homeless kid, the son of a carpenter who has the dregs of society following him all over the place, he says he knows better than them? I hear some of the Pharisees' arguments about tradition in the church today. But this is the way that we have always done it. Why does it matter if some people are offended? This is who we are. And yeah, tradition has its place. But faithful discipleship it's not about how many perfect attendance badges that you have or how many times you've read the Bible cover to cover. Those things are especially not important if you're neglecting to live out hospitality and love of Christ. And so that's what Jesus means when he says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of it. Jesus, God, is more concerned with what comes from our hearts, our words, our attitudes, our actions. He's more concerned with those things that can defile and hurt the people and the world around us. Those aren't the kind of choices that can be washed down the drain and into the sewer the way that yesterday's lunch can. Suddenly, the scene changes. Jesus is on the move again, and he has the opportunity to enact the lesson that he has just shared. He goes out towards Tyre and Sidon. This is Gentile territory. And this woman comes out just hollering, screaming, yelling for Jesus to heal her child, anything to get his attention. And I know several of you have or have had children with serious illnesses. I'm sure you can imagine this woman's distress. You would do anything for your child. You'd cross any boundary. You'd see any doctor, pay any amount. You would shout and clamor, beg and bargain. This woman is desperate to have her child healed. And Jesus ignores her, pretends he doesn't hear her, doesn't even look in her direction. He ignores her to the point that the disciples get annoyed. And they ask Jesus, can you just tell her to go away? And this seems very uncharacteristic of Jesus. Jesus is always healing people, even people who didn't ask him to heal them. Well, this is a Gentile woman. Not just any Gentile woman, but a Canaanite woman. And Canaanites, worst of the worst. These ancient idol-worshipping enemies, you know, they were the ones that had to be driven out so that the Israelites could take possession of the promised land. And the cherry on top is that this is a woman. And women are supposed to be invisible. They don't approach men unless they're a prostitute. Finally, Jesus answers her. And he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's laying out the parameters of his mission. Jesus is only there to purify Israel, Israelites. He has his orders, and he's following God's law. He's following the mission that God told him to follow. This woman is tainted. She's defiled. She's too impure, and she's beyond hope because of the circumstances of her birth. And yet the woman persists. She kneels before him, begging, "Lord, help me. Heal my child." And then Jesus says what I have found to be one of the most disappointing and disturbing and heartbreaking things that I have found in the Bible. "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." I know it doesn't sound nice, but you're thinking that I've heard worse insults before. I mean, dogs, right? I love dogs. I know many of you love dogs. But in this time and place, dogs were not household pets. They were considered dirty, impure, defiling. At best, dogs were tolerated, but mostly ignored. Because when you don't have enough to feed your children, you're not about to toss some scraps to Scruffy. But the Greek word that we've translated to dog, kinarion, is an ethnic slur. And we know this because it was used in other writings of the time by Euripides, Aristotle, others. It's akin to calling her the N-word. And there are a lot of apologists out there, some of my colleagues even, that say that Jesus didn't mean it in this way. Jesus was testing her faith. Or that even the Canaanite woman was in on the joke that Jesus was trying to serve as an example for the disciples. And I get wanting to explain it away. Those aren't the words or actions that we expect from the Prince of Peace. The divine who we read about time and again welcoming sinners and tax collectors, touching lepers and associating with people that most others wouldn't even glance at. What I think is happening here is Matthew is letting us see the full humanity, the full personhood of Jesus. A person of his time, who, like us, let his personal prejudices rule his response. But thankfully, another human attribute that Jesus has is the ability to learn and to grow and to change. When the Canaanite woman spoke back, saying that even the dogs get crumbs that fall from the table, she's defending herself. Seeing her grab a hold of the grace and blessing and healing that she knows she deserves, Jesus changed his mind. The fully human Jesus demonstrates personal integrity and a willingness to expand his worldview by learning from someone who was beneath him. So Jesus heals the woman's daughter. And to top it off, he doesn't even insist that she or her family convert to Judaism to receive that healing. He recognized that she's not more distant from God because of her ethnicity or her gender, The only thing that matters here is her faith. The gates of salvation are opened at this point to those outside of the house of Israel. The gates of salvation are opened to you and to me because this woman had so much faith that she stood up to Jesus. Jesus could have continued to dismiss this angry woman, but he listened to her and found that she was full of faith. A faith that he didn't find among his hometown folks or the ritually pure religious leaders or even the disciples. The faith of this Gentile, Canaanite woman brings out Jesus' compassion and humility. And as a result of that, Jesus invites everyone to be a part of the culture of purity and his salvation. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn. Give thanks for those whose faith is firm. Before we head out into the world, let me offer you a charge and a blessing. By the power of the Holy Spirit, go forth to serve your neighbor, to love your enemy, and embody God's mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. So may the nourishment of God's word and the accountability of the Christian community and the guidance of God's Holy Spirit fortify us for faithfulness. Amen.